Will and Dibby.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, Brian Hoyer was fantastic, right? I thought that was super informative and fun. And his name is Axel.
That's awesome.
Which is different.
Yep.
So.
And I get it. And I name my firstborn Quest. And every time I see him, not every time, but I always ask him, what do you think of your name? And sometimes he's like, I'm thinking about maybe, you know. Because he goes into like a place like to get a table at a restaurant and he tells them his name's Chris. That way they don't like, you know, clash.
Yeah.
So.
What's his middle name?
I can't tell you that. Okay. Because the next thing you know, you're going to want his social.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Maybe.
His middle name is French for the king. So if you speak French, you know what it is.
The king. That's French for the king, isn't it?
That's funny.
Let's go to the phones. Here we go, okay? This is what we've been batting around. Who's the most important 49er now? I mean, you can say Christian again if you want, but I thought that Monday night was a pretty good feather in the cap of those who say Brock Purdy, and that's definitely my answer, and it's not even a fair answer, I'll admit that. Like, we're not starting all from the same starting point. One of them's a quarterback. One of them's a quarterback. He gets the ball on every single play. But I thought that this was to go out there with no Christian and little teeny pieces of Brandon Ayuk and still perform at least a high enough level to still have 8 straight scoring drives. I know some of you thought it was too many field goals, to still score 30, to do it on Monday night against the Jets, all those things. To me, that's worth something. Dibs, you say Trent Williams.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at the games where they struggle. If he is at all limited, then you're going to struggle more than if Brock Purdy has a bad game. If Brock Purdy plays badly, you're going to lose. He's the quarterback. I get it. But when you don't have Trent Williams, like last year against Minnesota, you suffer in ways that you can't quantify.
Let's go to Bert in Benicia. Hi, Bert. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, boys? Well, first, you're kind of both right. I think 1A and 1B, but it's definitely Brock Purdy. And it's Brock Purdy because we got to see what this offense looked like with Trent Williams, with Jimmy Garoppolo as our quarterback, and it did not look the same, even when he had CMC. And you look at the track record of Shanahan, of plug-and-play guys like an Alfred Morris, Jeff Wilson Jr., Elijah Mitchell. He can take a running back, plug them into that system if they fit that zone running scheme. And if Jordan Mason played every single game for them and Christian was out for the season, he's rushing for over 1,000. They're still hitting play action passes and they're still moving the ball. The answer unequivocally is Brock Purdy. And I think the most important person on defense is the dog, Fred Warner, number 54.
Thanks, Bert. Appreciate that. That's an interesting comment that I agree with, by the way. If you did give Jordan Mason the starting job on this team, is he rushing for 1,000 yards? I mean, by the way,
probably
16 games to go, he only needs about 50 per game. He's already got 150. He only needs 850 more yards.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, I agree with that statement. He absolutely could be a 1,000-yard back. All of these guys are important. I just think that this would be sort of the final response I would give, obviously not today, but when people are talking about the reasons for Purdy. It's Kyle Shanahan. It's teammates. It's Trent. Whatever the reasons are for Brock in your mind, I have sort of lost care for what the reasons are for Brock. I'm more focused on reality, which is, this is what is. I don't care why it looks like this.
Right.
It looks like this. It didn't look like this with all the other quarterbacks. It does now. If you want to make up reasons for it, you might be right, and I don't really care.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And that's where the argument of, well, if you took Brock and put him in Buffalo and you put Josh Allen here, how would their records compare?
Don't care.
That's one of the ones that I really don't care about. I'm with you. And, you know, you look at all these crazy hypotheticals, and we can play the game all you want. For me, it doesn't serve the purpose of what are we seeing? We're seeing a quarterback who looks to be really good with an offensive mind who is really, really good, surrounded by other players who are also really, really, really good. So you take good with good and good, then your offense should be humming, and it is.
Yep, absolutely. John in Napa is next up. Hi, John. What you doing?
Hey, doing well, man. Thanks so much. Great hearing Axel. So good. So the question is, based on Monday Night Football, who's the most important Niner going forward, man. And I got to give a shout out to Roman, huge 49er fan. So just real quick, but I got to say that, like, for right now, honorable mention to Fred Warner, honorable mention to offensive line stepping up. That's awesome. But I got to say the defensive coordinator, which ironically, I don't even remember his name. I can't even say his name right now.
His name is Nick Sorensen. Nick Sorensen.
Nick Sorensen. Yeah. And his adjustments, I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about 6 and 7 games into the season, based on what happened to Steve Wilks last year. And as the reason why there was less production where it was needed, like with Bosa and coordination between the back line and the front line. So I think that's a really great focus. So I it's not even a player. It's a defensive coordinator to me is going to be the most important moving forward. But I also want to say, based on the last caller, was that when I see Purdy and his focus, when Brock Purdy is focused on the field and you see his eyes in the camera on the field before he takes a snap, I'm like, that's not Shanahan. That's Purdy. And so I just, I'm like, he's well coached. He has great plays that he gets to run for the team. But I'm also like, I want a quarterback with that kind of level of focus, because I don't see that in the other ones that get paid the way he does.
John, thanks. These are all fair. I wonder if you sort of run it through your mind this way, which is that, if you're going to lose somebody, who are you unwilling to lose? It's almost like an expansion draft. You know how you're allowed to protect players?
Yeah.
What if I told you on the Niners roster, like, everybody's coming for your roster. They could draft anybody. You could protect one person. Who are you protecting?
That's a little bit of a different conversation.
I'm taking it there.
Well, and you can take it there. Yeah. And I think that favors the Brock Purdy discussion, because Brock Purdy is 23. Maybe he's 24. I haven't checked the born-on date lately, but Trent Williams is 37.
But just this year.
So that's a big part of it.
But this year. Well, I'm talking about 49er football.
So it's a one-year draft, and then everybody gets thrown back in the hopper again.
Exactly.
I still think I'm protecting Trent Williams. And I looked at, you know, what he's done since he's been here in 2020, and he's missed 9 games, and the Niners are 3-6 in those 9 games that he's missed. And that's not a tiny sample, and it's over the course of the 4 years now, 5 years. This is his 5th year with the Niners, and so when he's been out, they've struggled more than when he has been in. And if it's a one-year thing, I'm going to take my left tackle as opposed to a quarterback that is more replaceable than Trent Williams.
Oof.
Replaceable.
That's a tough word for me to hear.
He's more replaceable.
I don't even think he's a tiny bit replaceable.
The
drop-off like
from Trent to Jalen is bigger than the drop-off from Brock to whoever you want to put in, Brandon Allen.
Come on.
No doubt. No doubt. The drop-off from Kyle Shanahan to whoever you want to replace is bigger than both of those.
Okay, but
having Kyle and Trent, for me, is more important than having Kyle and Brock and no Trent.
Okay, but like, and again, I disagree, but B, is that factoring in the higher level of importance of the person who has the ball in their hands on every offensive play?
It is, yeah. It's very important. And when Brock has the ball in his hands and you don't have the level of protection or run game because you don't have Trent, then that definitely mitigates what Brock Purdy's able to do.
Let's go to Dylan in Santa Clara for another answer here. And again, who's the most important 49er now after the data we received Monday night? Hey, Dylan, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Yeah, man.
I just don't understand how anyone, when they're asked this question, could say any answer except Brock Purdy, man. He is the thing, the engine that makes his offense go, and the offense is the engine that makes the whole team go. The defense feeds off of it. And ever since he stepped in, I've never been more confident in one of our quarterbacks in my entire life. I was born in 94. I barely missed Steve Young, and ever since then it's been a carousel of just average quarterback play, and now we finally got the guy. I can see maybe if you say Trent Williams, but at the same time I think left tackle is a more easily replaceable position in free agency or trading. Quarterback's the most important position in sports, we always say that. And he's on one of the best offenses, and it's because of him. So it's got to be Brock Purdy.
I mean, Dylan, I agree with you. And again, I admit that this is not starting from, we're not all the same starting block here. There's a reason that when there are top quarterbacks in the draft, the whole league starts scrambling to get to the very top of the draft. If you
and
can,
usually they're wrong for doing that.
Absolutely. Well, they're not wrong for doing it if they hit. It's just a matter of the hit rate.
Well, they're wrong for doing it historically, and you can look at the draft, the Trey Lance draft, and it was like four busts and a maybe.
Was Houston wrong for C.J. Stroud?
So far, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, like if you can get one, there's nothing more important than that. If you can get one.
But if you go up and try to get one and you don't get it,
then you're up a creek.
But if you get a Tristan Wirfs or you get a left tackle who's legit, then that's something that's has staying power for a lot longer.
All right, let's keep it going. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems, 888-957-9570. Who's the most important 49er now? Brock, Trent, Christian, Fred, Nick, or other? We'll keep taking your phone calls on Willard and Dibs.
Come on!
Best day of the week.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, you're damn right it is. You're damn right it is.
What and you really want... Yeah, DMX, what you really want. Sorry, YouTube audience, but we're feeling it here on the way back.
No, I think that they're very entertained by you doing a cappella DMX. It's tremendous.
And they missed my run, run. I hit Grandy on the way back on the talk back. Yeah, I'm not afraid.
We're keeping an eye on the countdown to Thursday Night Football as well for you. And I would just say this right now. If you are a fantasy owner of Devon Achan, signs are good. Signs are good. He was at practice yesterday, which likely means he avoided the high ankle sprain. Plus, it's a lack of elevation sensation.
Okay.
Because they did not elevate. Cha-ching! They did not elevate off the practice squad a third running back, which probably means Achan is playing, or as my dad calls him, a Shane. So I'm driving to work today, and I said, hey, I gave my folks a call. How you doing? What's going on? And he's like, well, we're just sitting here watching a Shane. And I'm like, a what? And he's like, a Shane. And I'm like, my man.
A Shanae?
I don't know what's happening here. I'm not like.
I don't speak 80-year-old.
I don't know if this is English or what's happening.
Can you help me fix
totally.
My phone?
Right. And so, and they do the whole thing. Hang on. Let me go to the other room. And it takes them so you're on the phone for 7 minutes before everybody gets situated. And then he finally describes to me what a Shane is. And apparently it's a Dolphins running back. And I'm like, oh, you mean Achan? He goes, yeah, a Shane. And I'm like, okay, now I get it. And then I come to find out, because I didn't even look, they're playing me. So I'm like, I'm going to stop giving you advice right now. I'm going to take you down, mom and dad.
That's pretty cruel.
They're like, who should we pick up if a Shane is not playing? I'm like, oh, no one. Don't listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you in the wrong direction. All right.
Jeff Wilson would be the
he's gonna
third stringer.
He's going to start, I think. Yeah, or he would. And then there's that kid, Jalen Wright. Who really popped in the preseason, and a lot of people think that he might have a big night. But I think the signs are good for a Shane.
Okay.
Or Achan.
Yeah.
Whichever one you want.
And knowing that does nothing to my pick, which has already been locked in mentally. I am so excited for Thursday night. I'm about to win my third in a row. The Dibber. You fade the Dibber.
Number three.
Fade the Dibber.
I'm about to go 3-1.
Okay.
So.
Well, hey, look. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Come on at me.
And second of all, if you get hot, then fade the Dibbers can immediately, like, you get to pick whichever side you want to be on. You can fade the Dibbers.
You sure can.
Or it's kind of like if you play craps, you want to play the pass line or you want to play the don't pass line. You want to be one of those people? You can go with the Dibber if you want. Go with him.
Just don't go 50-50, Dips.
I won't.
Yeah.
I'm about to go on a major heater.
If you lose tonight and go 2-2, we're just throwing stuff at you tomorrow.
I get that.
All right.
Just a 20-second quick aside on the don't. I went to, when I was in Vegas for March Madness, there was a guy playing, throwing by himself, and he was playing his own don't pass.
So he's betting against himself.
He, as he's throwing the dice angrily, 7 out, 7 out, 7 out. And this guy, he was betting like 4,000, 5,000 per roll.
And he was winning?
He was like hitting points, and the stick lady was just kind of making fun of him, and the level of self-hatred I'd never seen.
Major.
No, he was losing. Because he was betting against himself.
And he was hitting points.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It was, I was fascinated by this man.
Yeah, did you look at him and you're like, dude, do you hate beer and fun? Like, what's the matter with you?
The level of self-hatred was something I had never seen before.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. Like, that's
it was actually hilarious.
Well, sure. Was you know me. Was there a table have like 40 people on it, or was it by himself?
By himself.
Well, perfect.
Seven out. Got lost about
Wait,
12 grand.
You played craps with Farhan Zaidi?
Totally. Yeah.
Sure, Dave Fleming earlier today said Farhan's wearing this. Like he's worried about Farhan.
Well, he should be.
He's worried about him.
This is a disaster, right?
Yes.
Well, and Grandy just said it. Like, fade the dipper is great as long as I don't go 2-2 and then 3-3 and 4-4. The Giants are the epitome of 2-2, 3-3 and 4-4.
And hashtag nobody like us.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yep.
So don't be that guy. People like you.
I'm a win now. Go ahead and fade me, Grandy. You won't.
Wait. 5 o'clock. Yeah. 5 o'clock. All right. Jason in Chicago. And again, the question we're asking and what we're debating, who's the most important 49er now? And what I'm waiting for also from Dibs, I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
Is a big old heaping serving of I was wrong.
In terms of?
Well, last year, Brock Purdy was the seventh most important 49er.
Yeah.
That's what you told me.
Early on.
Okay.
And he moved up the list.
Oh, I see.
He moved up.
I didn't know you were going to move the goalpost like that.
Why, everything changes with new information. And right now, he's more than the seventh most important player.
What is he now?
He's probably right now the second most important player.
Okay.
Third, if you want me to go Dominic Pooney on you, I won't do it. But he's only behind Trent Williams. And if you want to look at Trent Williams and his... the record when they don't have him and they're 3-6 without him over the course of four plus seasons,
which is political math. It must be an election
it's
year.
It's just math.
No, but
these are just facts.
Right, but
when he doesn't play, they lose 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, that was.
And I'm sorry if that bothers you.
You want to let me finish the sentence that's going to blow your record up?
Go ahead.
You ready for it?
Go ahead.
Tell everybody that three of those losses were before Brock Purdy was on the team. Tell everybody that, because that's significant for the conversation that we're having.
They had a quarterback on the team at the time who has been to a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. But that's not what we're talking about right now. So what's Brock Purdy's record without Trent Williams?
Brock Purdy?
Uh-huh.
0-2. 0-2.
Is that accurate?
You can ask me a question. No. I'm going to give you an answer, and you're going to question me?
I think there were more games than that that Trent missed.
Trent missed two games last year.
What about the year before
that?
They
lost them both.
What about the year before that?
The three games that he missed, I believe, were pre-Brock. He missed the Rams.
All of them?
Carolina and Atlanta. Trent came back for Kansas City, which is when,
that was when
your
Christian,
beloved Brocky Poo
no, that
stepped
was when,
on the field.
No, he did not against Kansas City. He came on the field against Miami.
Oh, so, yeah.
Christian started that game against Kansas City, but was limited. He was like a half participant.
Right. Trent missed three games. Rams, Carolina, Atlanta, weeks 4, 5, and 6. That's it. So when Brock came on the field from on high, Trent was already back and healthy.
So 0-2.
And helping him out.
Okay.
0-2.
Small sample size, Steve.
3-6.
0-2.
All time.
Got it. Okay. Just want to make sure we're all squared away with the numbers.
Yeah.
We got plenty of people in media lying right now.
Brock has never won a football game without Trent on the field.
Mm. Has Trent ever won one without Brock on the field?
A bunch.
How?
I mean, he's...
Since Brock became the starter?
Oh, since Brock became the starter.
I mean...
No.
Okay.
Like, I mean, Trent's won a whole lot more games than Brock has.
Trent, how about when Trent, was Trent on the field in Chicago? Was he on the field with Trey Lance?
Yeah, I'm looking and yes, he was.
How'd that go when the Niners had when they had Trent Williams, but they didn't have a good quarterback? How'd it look?
It didn't look great.
How'd it look?
You were there for that game.
I was there.
Yeah, you were.
It was awful.
And Trent, actually, if we're going to be totally fair, Trent only played 38 snaps in the Jimmy G debacle at Denver.
Denver, yeah.
That's when Trent got hurt.
He got hurt that night, yeah. And Jimmy ran out the
back. And the team barely recovered after that, but go ahead.
Jason in Chicago. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
All right, so there is no way it's not Brock Purdy. We would all, as fans, be sick to our stomachs if we're rolling out Dobbsy or Brandon Allen. we can handle no Trent Williams, and it'd be okay. But the more pressing issue, chocolate tracks or fudge tracks is not a real ice cream flavor.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
you, Jason. Minute. I didn't write the words fudge tracks on the front of the ice cream container. That's what it says. Does it not say that? Confirm or deny. The driver's ice cream.
I didn't look at it.
Next break, I'll go look because there's an ice cream social before the show. I wasn't here for it. So I came in and I ate ice cream during the crossover.
You sure did.
And the YouTube audience asked, what did I eat? And I said, fudge tracks ice cream with like Oreo crumbles and chocolate chips drizzled over the top.
Jason, you know what fudge tracks is, right?
Yes. It is a knockoff of Moose Tracks.
Oh, right. I was going to go a different direction, but I like that.
Not really.
Well, that is not radio appropriate, Dibs.
I appreciate it. You know me.
Moose Tracks.
I like it, Edgy.
What were you trying to do?
I was trying to advocate for a change of underwear.
You're trying to get Jason dumped. Jason, thank you.
Well, fudge tracks would lead to somebody getting dumped.
I'm going to go. Stop it.
Thank you,
Jason.
Whatever, Grandy. Stop being such an adult.
I ate it.
Laughing every now and again.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, you did.
And you can call it whatever you want.
I'm going to eat
it. It was delicious. It was not nutritious, but it was delicious.
Don't talk about that.
All right. So
I just encourage everyone to go back and do the film study as Greg Cosell and I do, and I watch the game against Minnesota
and
you see is an offensive line that was maybe not porous, but they struggled without Trent Williams.
You know,
Brock Purdy actually made some great throws in that game.
He did.
And then he had the absolute, not the worst pick of his season.
No.
But it was up there. It was just an awful pick.
I disagree with you completely. No, it wasn't, because circumstantially.
It was the fudge track of picks.
Yeah, but how far down were the Niners?
They were down by a score.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 22-17.
Okay.
Facts.
Fine. True or false, when a team is losing and you're given the ball with said, like, what, a minute to go, minute plus, what was on the clock?
I'm looking at it, I think it was buck 11.
Okay. Fact or fiction, The turnover rate in a situation like that goes through the roof. And the reason for that, just like Jordan Love in the playoffs last year when the Niners took the lead and Dre Greenlaw picked off a ball and then decided to run around and...
Oh, I loved it.
Like, remember that play? The reason the turnover rate goes through the roof is obvious, because a quarterback needs to start taking more chances than they normally would, because you are up against it. You are in a desperate situation. It's not to excuse it. You want to call it a bad throw? Sure, fine, bad throw. It was a pick. But that game for him is still fascinating to me. Not that it was a great game for Brock, because it wasn't, but if you look at what was happening against Cincinnati and Minnesota last year, to me it was obvious. The defense was brutal. They could not force an incompletion. And that puts the Niners in a situation where they can't use Brock or Trent. They can't run the ball anymore.
Fair.
You got to come from behind. And the whole thing is just off track.
I do need to offer a clarification.
Please.
Sensation.
Thank you.
Because he threw two picks in that game.
I remember them.
And the one that I was referring to happened with 5.5 minutes to go.
I remember both.
First and 10 at Minnesota's 49. That's the one that was really the most crippling. The second pick happened with a minute left.
Desperate.
And I'll give you that one. That was desperation.
Yeah.
The other one was just a bad throw. And maybe it's because there was no Debo and he thought Juwan would continue on his route. And he didn't, but that was the pass where he threw it right to the Minnesota Vikings, and that was crushing.
Ready for me to upset you?
You're going to blame the receiver, of course.
No, I'm not going to blame the receiver at all. I
blame
would never
some
do that.
Poor wide receiver three.
No, he was concussed.
Ah, there you go. And we had this actual discussion.
That?
I do remember that.
That? Yeah. Remember that. Yeah, Brock was fine until he got concussed.
Right.
And then he started throwing picks, and then he came out the next week, and remember, he wasn't going to play. He wasn't going to play, The doctors all he shouldn't play. And then he played. And he threw more picks.
Yes.
Still concussed.
That's what you said.
And then he went on a bye week, and he came back, and everything was hunky and dory.
Yeah. The head was cleared, yep. And you know, he was far enough away from the concussion that you Brock Purdy acolytes could no longer give him a free pass.
Can we just admit something? Everyone's insufferable. Like, you're going to pick a side, and you're going to stay there. Like, actually, don't think all that stuff. Those were bad throws, and you, if you're on the field, you're accountable.
You're on the field, yep.
You're accountable for your throws. But the same way, like, sometimes I do that because that's what the opposite to me sounds like. When you go, oh, my gosh, Willard's just going to come up with an excuse for Brock no matter what he does that's bad. Well, that's what it sounds like to me in the opposite direction when he goes out there, goes 18-4 as a starter, wins two playoff games per year every single time he goes to the playoffs, only two losses in the playoffs, one's in overtime to Patrick Mahomes, the other one he didn't have an arm attached to his body, and so many of you will come out and go, well, Shanahan and Trent, it's actually not that good. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds bananas for people to say that anything other than the 49ers have found a really high-level player at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I understand that. That's all. And it's the way everybody's going to look at any issue, and you're going to skew it your way based on how you want to confirm your own bias. And if you don't think that Brock is that good, if you think he's a product of the system, then you're going to look at Monday night is a good example. Brock was fine, but they won the game because of Jordan Mason, a great defense, Kyle Shanahan, and a kicker who was near record-setting. So if you believe that Brock Purdy's just aight, you look at all those other things to confirm your own bias. And sure, if you're in your camp and you think that Brock is amazeballs, then you look at all the great things that he did and you give him more credit than you give other people.
I appreciate your use of amazeballs.
Yeah, no problem.
I do not appreciate your use of the word fine. I just don't.
I get that.
Okay.
And I probably gave him a B+ as well.
Dude, the word fine.
I hate the gravy train on Grandy.
At the risk of sounding like a child of the 80s and a teenager of the 90s, the word fine is for when you see someone walking down the street that you think is super hot. That's what the word fine is for. It's not meaning like, oh yeah, everything's great. No, that's not what fine means. How are you? I'm fine. Let's go to the couch. Sit down. What's wrong? Tell me. I can handle it. Let's talk it out. That's what the word fine means. So if you tell me that Brock was fine on Monday night, you're being offensive.
He was fine.
Unless you're attracted to him.
Right. I mean, yeah.
That's just the way I look at it.
Looked at the way he played, and yeah, he was good. He's fine.
See, I got you. Got you to stop.
You know, I don't want to dwell on the lexicon or the particulars of the assessment. He was good enough to win the game, as he has been in 18 of his 22 starts as a pro.
He was more than good enough. I mean,
so
they won it going away.
Whatever word you want to use, he's 18-4 as a starter in the regular year. So whatever four-letter word you want to put on that, the dude has played 22 regular season games, and he's 18-4.
10 letters. Right. Amaze balls.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Aaron in Iowa. There's your four-letter word. It's Iowa. Hi, Aaron. What are you doing?
Oh, just listening to you guys right now.
Yeah.
So
that works out well for everybody.
But I wanted to talk about, like, when you guys were asking earlier who, like, the most important players are on the team right now. I would honestly say Brock Purdy is number two and Trent Williams is number one. And strictly speaking, last year I still would have had it actually ranked that way, because here's the thing. If Trent Williams goes down for that year, last year, what do the 49ers have for an offensive line? Probably one of the three worst offensive lines in the league last year, because they were already bottom 10 last year in pass protection. And then you look at this year, if with the emergence of Pooney, if they go from bottom 10 to at least mid-tier, if not at least top 15, I think the 49ers finally get over that hump. And then you're going to see what Purdy can actually do, because many people would seem to forget that Purdy constantly has had pressure in his face or has had to escape stuff to get the ball out. And now that he'll actually have a little bit of a better protection pocket going on this year, if Pooney does play out the way many Niners fans hope, I think people are going to be actually surprised then and actually be like, you know what? this guy is much better than what we thought he was.
Well, Aaron, I think you make some really solid points, and obviously there's no diminishing Trent Williams' importance. That would be ridiculous. But let me ask you this, Aaron. If Brock Purdy is now 18-4 as a starter, and he's been really, really good, and you just said he did it, Trent even being there with an offensive line that in terms of pass protection ranked in the bottom third of the league, yet this player still continues to succeed and has the highest passer rating in the NFL, what does that tell you?
To me, that tells me that Purdy's doing extremely well despite being handicapped a little bit. I was just saying that the only reason why I put Trent above there is just because of the fact that it literally takes that offensive line from being probably like the bottom three to considerably the worst offensive line for pass protection to a decent, somewhat workable offensive line that Purdy can work with. That's all I was getting at. I'm not saying that Trent, well, I'm not diminishing Trent. I'm not diminishing Purdy. I'm just saying that without, if you had a different quarterback other than Purdy, despite what many people want to say behind that offensive line, I don't think they'd play as well. The only one I think that plays as well behind that offensive line would be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody else would play that well. Not Lamar Jackson, not Josh Allen, just because of the fact that, like, those guys, yes, they can run with their legs, but Kyle Shanahan's system does require you to still be able to try to go down the field. And it's just, I just don't think those guys would be able to work through the system properly. They have a completely different skill set than what Brock Purdy has, but that doesn't mean that, I'm not saying that they would completely fall flat on their faces. I just don't think they would be as successful in this system as people think that they would be. And they just want to keep diminishing Purdy behind this because they're like, oh, well, we've seen what Kyle Shanahan has done with years before. Years before, he had better offensive lines. This, like, since Purdy's taken over, it's been not really considered one of the better offensive lines. Even that,
well,
the year that he...
Yeah, I was just going to say, and Aaron, thank you very much. It depends.
Good call, Aaron. I appreciate that.
It depends sort of on what portion of the game, I guess, you're talking about. Because, again, there's the pass protection, there's the run game.
Interesting you say that.
And offensive lines can be very, very different, even as the same group. Like, take Mike McGlinchey might be one of the better examples. Like, Mike McGlinchey was both a good offensive lineman and a bad offensive lineman.
Exactly.
All tucked into one, depending on what the play call was.
I was just looking at PFF from last year, and I know Pro Football Focus is not the end-all, be-all, but it's a metric.
It's a thing, sure.
And last year, the Niners were ranked 22nd in pass blocking. They were number one in run blocking.
There you go.
So, to your point about this offensive line, and yeah, when you get into third and two and third and three, it's easier to pass block because the defense doesn't exactly know what's going on. So everything is contextual. This offense thrives on having the run pass capability on any individual play, as any offense does.
Only other thing I want to add about the Trent Williams thing, and again, I got to say this up front, there's no way to diminish his importance. I sat here with you for 3 weeks leading up to this going, there's no way he's missing the opener because there's no way the 49ers are that stupid. They know what you know, what I know, which is that, yes, he's that important. So there's no diminishing him. But it my ears perk up when I hear people go, well, if he was out, here's what would happen. My answer to that is kind of like, well, you don't really know that. I don't know what Trent Williams' backup would look like long term. Let's not act like we haven't found players through injury before. Brock Purdy is one of them. When Jimmy was walking off, if everyone had just gotten a phone call right then and there and been like, by the way, that was his last play with the 49ers, what would you have said and what would you have thought? Where was that season going in that moment?
Most likely south.
It was over.
Yeah.
That was it.
I did think at the time, and I remember coming in the next day thinking, you know, they could survive it if this Brock Purdy kid is just decent. They have enough around him to where they could still do some things. And then it turned out he was more than decent.
Well, and remember, at that moment, we had almost next to no data, but the data we did have was, oh, like they went out and scored 33 points.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Niners were down 7-3 when he came in, if memory serves. I think they were down to the Dolphins 7-3. And did they not win 33-17?
33-17.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. So, like, your
guy Garopp was 2 of 4 for 56 yards, and he'd been sacked.
Yep. You're darn right he had been.
He'd been sacked.
What was Brock's numbers in
25 of 37 for 210, two tutties and a pick, and a win.
And a win. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Keep them coming. 888-957-9570. Who's the most important 49er now? Now that the Niners went out without Christian and with half of Brandon and still scored 32 and won a game by double digits.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was toxic.
What I'm telling you, Kevin Kelly said,
I'm
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
He's right. He's right. That is singing.
I guess. I always hesitated with that because, let's be real now, I had to sort of make it up in order to be a performer.
I get it.
In a live stage setting, like I don't have, like I can carry a tune. It's probably not one you want to hear. You know what I mean?
I get it, but I do feel like you have this gift, this voice that honestly you could be doing more with it. I mean, sports radio, you're good at it. I love being your partner. You do good impersonations, and maybe we'll get a visit from Barely Callis or. Harry Kalish is what we called him.
Kalish.
The great NFL Films voice. But I think you have this gift, and you could give more of it. That's all.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
See? I'm over here. Doing my Krusty the Clown bit.
Fable Dibbers, 1 hour and 11 minutes.
Dude, I don't have what you have. If I had what you had.
You have other stuff.
I do. But if I had what you had.
I don't have what you
I'd
have
never
either.
Leave the house. Now back to Willard and Dibs. 3-2 and now back to Willard and Dibs.
Those are the people. That's always been seriously the dream. There's a couple, and they're husband and wife. And
makes sense.
Yeah, they well, right?
And I mean, nowadays you have to clarify.
I could have said.
You could have.
Well, but there's a couple
yep.
pieces of candy over here on the table. Like, I could have finished that sentence anyhow.
Yep.
Husband and wife, and they're both like voiceover or imaging people.
Mm-hmm.
And they just moved off to the middle of damn nowhere. And then all of the stuff just comes in the morning, and they sit down in their little home studio. Now back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
See?
And then you send it, and then that's it. And then you just do your day, and you just sit there in a low-rent district with a huge house and drink. Like, that's it. That's
now
life.
Now back to the liquor cabinet.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'll have a gin and tonic, even though it's 9 a.m.
Good buddy of mine a few years ago. Great. I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but he's very, like, very successful voiceover guy. I don't think he had shoes. I don't think he owned shoes. He's living in the coast. He just had flip-flops. And he'd come out and cruise around and chase the kids in his phone. But whoop, he'd look at his phone. Hang on, I'll be right back. And he would go into the back, and he'd be, now back to Sex in the City. And boom, right back out with the kids in his flip-flops. There's like 5 G's.
Pretty
I'm
good.
Like, good Lord, that's a life. Woo! You didn't have to go anywhere.
You got it in you.
Ever.
And, you know, like Steve Young said, that's singing.
That's singing.
So there you go.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, you're stuck here with me, suffering through my Brock is just fine takes.
Want to be stuck with Dan Dibley? Yeah, I am. And I do.
Yeah. That's on you.
Let's go.
That's on you, sadly.
Let's go to Rafi in Berkeley. And again, who's the most important 49er now after the data we have from Monday night? No Christian, portions of Brandon, who a good friend told me once upon a time, Niners were not Super Bowl contenders without Brandon Ayuk. You want to walk that one back at all?
No.
I just want to ask.
Of course.
I'm not leading you anywhere.
I don't think that they are Super Bowl contenders without Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
And so far, you beat a Jets team at home with Brandon Ayuk-ish.
Yeah. With Brandon I.
Yeah.
No Uke.
I mean,
it was like a half of him.
There was no Yak, because you had to catch it to get Yak.
There was no Yuke.
It was not Brandon I Yak.
There was no Yak?
No.
It was some yuck.
Hey, look at me and you.
You beat me by a nose. It was
we were both
photo
there.
Finish. Rafi in Berkeley, hi. You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs. All right. Can I answer your question with a question?
Sure. I would imagine yes.
All right.
You what just did, Jimmy by Garoppolo's the way. Anyway, record? go ahead, Rafi.
What was Jimmy Garoppolo's record in the playoffs as a 49er?
Boy.
Jimmy Garoppolo's playoff record as a 49er, was that the question?
Yeah, I'll give you the answer. Rhetorical.
Well, okay, go ahead.
5-2.
5-2.
What is Brock's record in the playoffs as a 49er?
4-2.
Now, would you call Jimmy excellent?
Would I call Jimmy excellent? Jimmy with the 49ers was really good. But I guess the only way I can answer,
Jimmy at 4-2. By the way,
yeah, I don't see the 5-2.
He's 5-2 for his career, but that counts the New England game where he didn't play. He had two kneel downs.
Give me the playoff games for Jimmy with the Niners. Obviously the Super Bowl loss and the Rams
over
loss
over Minnesota, over Green Bay.
I remember those.
Where he threw it 8 times.
Right, and then there
you
was
lose the Super Bowl.
Hufanga game.
Then you next 2 years later you beat Dallas on the road. You beat Green Bay on the road.
Right.
And then you lost to the Rams because Kwaski Tart dropped an interception. Yeah. Many people will say.
I just like to Rafi. You have a point. But I bet even you see sort of the circumstantial nature of it. You know what I mean? Like, they beat Green Bay because of it. They beat Green Bay without an offensive touchdown. Now, Brock Purdy beat Dallas with only, I think, 19 points, if I'm remembering correctly. So both of them kind of won a defensive struggle. You have a point. If I was making this all about his playoff record, which I'd argue I'm not, how's that for a fair answer?
I think that's a very fair answer. I think the thing about football is there's always contingencies. It was an interception that was dropped, a not very offensive driven game in the snow. You know what I mean? It's always going to be something. I mean, the difference is I just looked this up and there's a 20 point difference in their TBR, if you like those kinds of things, in the playoffs. Brock's is almost 100. Jimmy's is closer to 75. So it's kind of how they're doing essentially the same record that kind of makes the difference. But to borrow a phrase from our good friend Ray Ratto when he was talking about the Warriors, I think the 49ers are an ensemble team, an ensemble. And it's the grouping together that makes them great. And I think you start pulling pieces out and actually, you know, over a season, because, yeah, we just won without Christian and whatever, but over a season, I think that's when things will start to fall apart, actually without any of them. So I think they're all important because I do think, again, they're this ensemble, an ensemble that makes them great. And thanks, guys.
Well, that was very good. Rafi.
Very good, Rafi.
John Sally.
Thank you. Not only,
ensemble.
Not only is that a very, very faithful listener to the station, look, Rafi's right, and I don't know that anybody would disagree with that. What I would say about that, though, is what he's saying is hard in 2024 in sports media to sort of like accept and wrap our head around, because that's just not the way a lot of our brains work. We don't want to do that. Well, they're just an amazing team, and everyone's great. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. And I think I said off the top of the show, no one would argue the 49ers become a lesser entity with the loss of any of these people. Any of them. Of course they'd be way worse without Trent. Or Nick or Fred. And Christian. And Brock. And we can keep going. Debo and Brandon and George. All of them. So, like, yes. But that marriage that Rafi's talking about, I think, is what people have a hard time with. Like, we don't do this to any of the other marriages in our life. Do you have a couple down the street where you're like, gosh, they just look like they're getting along all the damn time, and boy, the kids are well-adjusted, and everybody's doing well.
We have a neighbor. It's clearly a system marriage.
Okay, yeah. Like, do you look at that and go, it's clearly the mom? Or do you
For sure, there are those.
You do?
Oh, for sure. You there don't are marriages give you look at it and you go, you know what? That mom or that dad, they're doing the heavy lifting. There's the lesser of the two.
But do they have a great marriage?
Probably not.
Okay, well, then that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a great marriage where you look at it and people are financially making money and they're traveling and they're happy and the kids are well adjusted and people are doing things together and they're sharing the work and this person's successful and so is that person. You don't look at that family and be like, well, it's Bob. Bob does that.
Well, in
and
every
the other
marriage,
five people that I'm looking at don't get any credit for this.
In every marriage, there's a Kyle and there's a Brock. And in this analogy,
okay,
the Kyle is the one with the better job and contributing more to the overall marriage than Brock. Brock's a great partner.
That's interesting that you said Kyle had a better job, because I'll tell you which one's about to pay more.
He's doing a better job.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not about who has a better job. It's who is doing more for the union, to use your analogy.
Why can't I say, even if I'll grant you, that the percentage tip is in Kyle's favor, but to whatever level you all think Kyle made Brock, why can't I respond to you and say, Brock also has made portions of Kyle? If Kyle's output is now better, and these are the words of Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Garoppolo used to drive Kyle crazy. And then Trey Lance was drafted and it couldn't even function. And now you walk out there with the expectation of, well, 30 points and Super Bowl. And things are like they've
That's
won.
That's what they had with Jimmy.
No, they didn't.
They got to the Super Bowl.
They didn't average 30 points a game.
True.
And in the NFC Championship game, he threw it 8 times.
I'll give you a statistical comparison of those two that I just unearthed coming up in just a moment.
You know that no stat you're going to give me is going to shake me from Brock is better than Jimmy.
Oh, no. This is actually to confirm your belief based on the fact that they've both played 6 playoff games underneath the same head coach.
Okay.
And when our last caller, whose name now escapes me...
That was Rafi.
Thank you, Rafi. He said 5-2. Well, he's really 4-2. They're both 4-2 in the postseason.
Yes.
And Jimmy's thrown for, in those 6 games, 962 yards.
And Brock?
1,343.
And I'd also argue one of the losses is not fair, and you know why. He didn't play in it.
No, but just the yards.
Right,
and
right.
So even if he finished that game, means, he might have another 200 yards.
You're exactly
to your
right,
point.
For
Jimmy,
sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 60.6% completion. Brock's at 62.6.
Mm-hmm.
The big one, though, Jimmy G, 4 TDs, 6 picks.
Brock?
6 TDs, 1 pick. So it's clear that Jimmy G is not as good as Brock, and Brock has elevated Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
I'll give you that.
Yeah. And like, I love what Brian has talked about. Like, one of the keys, because I don't think, when I say Brian Hoyer, who joined us earlier.
Axel.
Also known as Axel, a.k.a., and a former 49er quarterback under Kyle, who we both believe is very smart on this, has said one of the keys to this marriage is the fact that Kyle got Brock right away.
Right.
Trey is the only comp to that, because Kyle got Jimmy, and Jimmy had already been in the oven for a little while. And then as an offensive coordinator, it's different. And I'd argue most of the QBs he got had already, Matt Ryan, been baked for a little while. I don't know about Manziel and all that stuff, but you get to this point, and Kyle was able to get to Brock right away and have basically Kyle's brain and Brock's body just go into the oven together and bake from the outset. And that is a big part of what you're seeing, which is that Brock will literally go out there and execute what Kyle is telling him to do, which I think the world goes, well, then that's Kyle's credit. I'm like, no, the execution is a big part of this.
Right.
It's not just the brain. Like, writing it on paper and then having it happen, so that's where Brock comes in. And that's a big piece.
It is, but it's also the relationship between the two, because Brock had never played pro football for anyone else, and Kyle was able to mold him in his image. Brock embraced the teaching, and he's embraced the system. The system is still preeminent and dominant, and the fact that Brock is 100% on board, for me, that's credit to both of them.
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, don't forget that when you watch a football game, Kyle's brain comes up with a play, and you love Brock's execution, and I'd argue at least 30 or 40% of the time, that play doesn't go the way it was drawn up. And Brock does very, very well with that. Progressions, ad-libbing, moving, buying time, decision-making. That's all part of this. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.